So joining me now at SOS Fest are Red Spectre, and I've got Daz, John and Rob. Thanks for sparing a bit of time. And just saying how much I'd enjoyed the set for a band that I'd not come across to listen to before today. I was blown away. I thought it was really, really, really good. It just appealed to my current drive for things that are not quite throwaway.
Yeah.
It requires a bit more depth to it.
That's actually probably like a real probably one of the best compliments you've had, like, real. Not being thrown away, like, that's a cool, nice one. I'd take that.
I'm glad, because I think anybody who's known me for a while will know that, when somebody asks you what your favourite album of all time is, and the number one on any list for me is always Def Leppard's Hysteria, you can see the level I'm coming from. But over the last 4 years, I've kind of gone, as much as I like that, I'm needing more to think about when I'm listening to stuff. I want something that's affecting me in a way that's a bit more age appropriate for me.
I think you're constantly learning as well. Like I like YouTube a lot, because say whatever music you're into, you kind of have recommendations of bands you've probably never even heard of, and then when you listen, you go, God almighty, I've discovered this band, and actually you're kind of proud of yourself to discovering that band, you know what I mean? You go, oh, wicked, Dad, check this out, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you actually find out, especially if they're a current band, and you go, oh, wicked, I need to find out when these are touring, or... So, it's a great thing to do, I think.
And that's why I love festivals like this so much, because it gets me in a room with people like you guys, and I can't escape. You know, I mean, I'm here for the duration. It's a 200-mile drive for me, so it's like, you know, I'm here. So it's like, okay, I'm here to enjoy it, I'm here to have fun, I'm here to... But most of all, I still want to find new stuff. I want to see new people.
Same for us. We always want to find new stuff, new people, bands we love. We've found some awesome gems on the way, haven't we? Some absolute kick-ass.
I think it also
bands.
Inspires you into your writing as well, you know what I mean? Or like even say in your record collection, so you can go off and say you find a band in that's got like a whole new genre. And then you, with YouTube and tools like that, the push into, check this band out, and check that band, and you're going, oh God. And then they've got a record collection, you're going, oh, wicked, that's a whole new collection onto my set of records I've got already.
I've found, particularly for me in the last few years, it's been time to take nearly 50 years of blinkers off and say, you know what, don't tell me what genre it is, let me hear it. Which is kind of the tricky bit with the music industry, because everybody wants to know,
well, they want
who do you sound like,
what
kind of rock is it, and I've read what you're described as, but I'm not going to say it, because to me it's kind of irrelevant, because if somebody said listen to X or Y, I'd kind of go, no, I don't like that kind of thing. But what I think more importantly is, what's the sort of things that influence you as musicians and songwriters and as a band to do what you do? Where does that come from?
Well, for me personally, when you're talking about Def Leppard, I went back recently and listened to On Through the Night, Pyromania, Home Drive, and you forget that they were a dirty little kick-ass rock band.
Yeah.
I know they're an arena rock band now and really polished, but you look at that and it's just guitars into amps, like Motorhead, like Saxon, like Cream, Zeppelin, Sabbath. It's just balls to the wall, honest rock.
Yeah.
And you just play it loud and just have a good time.
Exactly.
And I don't want to see people with blue hair and whatever and, you know, doing rapping and whatnot. I mean, that's great. I mean, that suits people like that. But it's just the honesty, isn't it, of what rock is.
Straight into amps and it's loud.
Yeah.
And we just play what comes from the heart.
When you go see Motorhead, you know, sadly, you know, long.
I think there's no hiding as well. I think, like, when you're going as bare as that, there's no hiding away from it. You know what I mean? If you mess up, then it's all for everybody to hear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
especially
you're on.
Piece, it's like,
yeah, you've got no escape. So you know what I mean? You've got to give it your all, or you're going to be found wanting.
You say as a three piece, which you are. I've always got a picture of the bands that I've always wanted to be in. I've always got two guitars and possibly a keyboard player or something. So I'm into that to make the big sound.
Yeah.
You guys clearly don't need that because there is a bigness.
Yeah.
Shit word, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, there's
no gaps. It doesn't feel like it's missing something. And is that something you've had to work quite hard on, or is it just, no, it just happen it, and it's
yeah,
there?
I think like just we've happens, just clicked. Yeah. We've just, you know, when you've got like. There's people you can really work well amongst, like, and I find that we've got that ourselves, like, we've been lucky to find that, and I know that can be really hard to find, and you know, you can be in as many bands as you want, and there's a lot of bands where they break up and then find another band and they break up and then they find and never find it.
But
know
we're
what
a
mean?
Family, we, it's like we're yeah. like brothers on the road.
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time together and not actually playing, because you only play for 30 minutes, but you could spend 12 hours of a day. We enjoy our company together, we enjoy spending time together, we have a laugh, and we, when we get on stage, it just,
we get on and we
like
get on really
got
well
psychic
with each other.
Connections mm-hmm.
I think like connects. we always like to get on with other bands as well.
Yeah.
Like we don't like that thing of where, you know, where just, oh, you've got your band and we're going to be better than you. We don't like that attitude. We're just coming out like we're going to put a great show on tonight, and that's it. You know what I mean? And that's the drive forward. Like,
it's all about the music. Always about the music. Mm,
yeah,
and
that's totally.
The thing that drives us. Playing 10 minutes.
I think if you get on, you're going to play better. I think as a band.
Subliminally, you know, when you're writing new music, you're playing a guitar riff. I'm knowing that Daz is going to be doing a fill there. I know Rob's going to be hooking in with the bass. You just kind of, without even thinking about it, you kind of know where it's going and what it's going to sound like.
Mm.
And so you sort of limit yourself because you know everybody's working as one solid unit with one common cause.
It's the thing, even as a three-piece, we limit back to create space for each other. So you find like all of a sudden like Daz has changed the beat out and it's going into something really big. And I think, oh, I'm going to drop the bass down to something that's hooks around what he's doing. And we just work off each other to go, you know what, you're doing something really cool there. I'm going to hold back on that and I'll do my cool bit there a bit later on.
Mm.
And it's learning from each other and working together to create something that we want to listen to.
Yeah,
because we're going to listen to it because we're in the middle.
And that happens naturally as well.
Exactly,
like,
it's just
totally
just about jamming.
It's
and
totally
enjoying
fluid.
Enjoying what we do together.
That's a great thing to hear, because at the end of the day, you read all the stories about every band, and you kind of, oh, we want to need to do this and you need to do that, and you kind of go, would have thought you really want to be playing stuff that you want to hear first, because otherwise, how can you believe in it?
Yeah,
and if you can't believe in it.
Yeah.
How's anybody else going to believe in it or have it speak to them?
Absolutely.
I haven't figured out quite what Red Spector is saying to me right now, but I like it. So,
cool.
you know what I mean?
You may never find out.
Yeah.
That might be the point. Be the point. Mm. Even from being a kid, there's been certain things about the bands that you, certainly with me, where you grow up, I love that band, I want everything. And it's because that band is speaking something to you at that point in time. And then after that, it just stays with you because of the magic of
and
musical
often,
time.
It's honest stuff as well. It's like, it's actually them, the conviction in their music is coming out through to you. And it's like, you can tell when the conviction's in there.
Mm. Yeah, there's only one AC/DC, there's only one Sax, there's only one Def Leppard, there's only one Metallica. You know, and you think, why is that? Well, it's because they're just doing what they want to do, honestly, with conviction, and taking the back wall out.
Mm. That's it. Def Leppard might not have actually set out to be Def Leppard. They've just created that, and that's what they are. And that's what we've exactly done. We were in a band that before that was like really old school blues band, and then a year like we had a singer in the band, and he just wanted to stay to that sort of, you know, that old school like Stones.
Yes.
He loved the Stones and the old school Doors, which is great stuff, like, but he's trying to nail you into that, and then he got disillusioned, and then we had a side project where we were writing his own stuff, and then it just became naturally what we are today, and it wasn't anything where we need to sound like this band or we need to sound like that band. It was naturally just flowed.
See, we all know when we play something, to our ears it sounds a bit what we might call safe. Oh,
yeah.
I've heard that before. But when you do something, you're thinking, well, that's a bit unusual. And you're a bit like, ooh,
yeah,
that's got to be a good thing, out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that, surely that's because you're writing songs for you.
Yes,
exactly.
From what's in here, in your head, and you kind of go in, I think that's what, I don't think safe's the right word. I think it's that's there's a natural, this is what we write, this is what we play.
Yeah.
And then there's a bit of hope.
I think
at the end of the day, we've always enjoyed our gigs. We've always enjoyed what we play, and I think that just people have just jumped on board with it. Like, we haven't expected to go, you know, we're doing this for said public. No. We've done this for ourselves, and like, we've enjoyed, like, give it all on stage and really enjoy what we're doing. Because we think I enjoy my songs. If I wasn't in this band, I'd be a fan of us, like, you know what I mean? And I think that's key for what we are.
The beauty by playing these festivals is that you meet people, they enjoy what you're doing, and then they get involved, and then everyone's along for a great adventure.
Mm. Absolutely.
And everybody's involved having a good time.
Yeah, that's it.
And you almost feel like a facilitator.
If people see us having a good time, they become start having a good time as well. And I it's no lies. There's no lies in it.
No. There's a kind of an old school sound about it, without sounding like you're trying to be back in the early 70s. And I hope that's a compliment too.
That's banging on the money.
Because sometimes the genres kind of go, right, I'm going to like them because they're going to sound like X and Y. And there's been a few bands that are doing this kind of style of rock. And I listen to it and go, and you sound exactly like such and such. And everybody raves about them.
Yeah.
And you're kind of going, I've heard it before. Mm. And there was elements that made me go, that makes me think of such and such. But then I'm going, but no, it doesn't. So that's a bit of a, I think that's why I like today's show and what I heard this morning. I'm kind of going, I've got to find the perfect time of the day for myself to go, that's Red Spectre time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But even at 8 o'clock this morning, straight out of bed, going, I'm thinking, that works.
That's awesome.
Thank you. So you passed my 8 in the morning test, so and the other half thought it was quite cool as well. So that was good.
Ace.
Given she was listening to George Ezra the other day, so, and I went, you want me to buy you what? You want me to go into a shop and buy that?
We've got like a radio at work and you're just going, oh my god. But actually, I actually read something about the songwriters today. That is actually most of the hits that are in the charts are written by two guys.
Yeah, Max Martin and somebody else.
Yeah, and you're going, that just shows, right, at what a money making racket that the charts is, and it's basically it's dominated. It's not like your choice. They're choosing for you.
It's safe.
Yeah, they're saying these guys, they write more hooks into a song, try to get as many hooks into a song. And it's like, they're just what they are, they're writing into your brain program. They're not actually writing from the heart. They're just writing just cleverly to aim at your brain and aim at your wallet. They're not writing for your heart and something that where you can relate to. They're not interested in that, and I just go, well, it's a shame. It's a big shame, a massive loss to music. Music as an art, isn't an art. It's a maths equation. That's what it flaming is. It's a maths equation.
Mathematicians think maths is art.
Yeah.
I would say maths is art. But it's like, but for us, all our songs come out of jams. They just come from the practice room, we just get together, play together, and then the songs grow organically. So it's like some of the songs we play today, like older versions of them that aren't quite the same.
Yeah.
It's just how it's grown throughout the time, and then we come on how it survived to the record, and then we've kind of stuck to that and where it's at. But it's like we're still right now trying to write album number two.
I think we've got more of a jam album. Elements as well in our set, like, and I think that's massively important in our live set, where I think, like, if somebody comes and watches us, they don't get bored if they come a number of times, because it's like you're on the seat you see your pants, you're on that knife edge, and that's it. If you mess up, it's bugger.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's gonna you're gonna torpedo it. Yeah, you're gonna pull your pants down.
But don't always come back in time.
But the same point of that though is a jam feels great.
Yeah.
For the band, but what you seem to pull off that feel without it feeling like it was sort of wandering off somewhere.
Yeah.
And that must be that's very clever.
Well, I remember he was a really good guitar player. When I started playing guitar, he said, if I've got anything to say to you, don't ever learn a guitar solo, it's the kiss of death. He says, just learn how to play the damn guitar. So whatever situation you're in, you know where your fingers are going to be, they're going to be right. Because sometimes people, they learn like a regimented 8 bars of music.
Yeah.
And if something goes a bit wrong, it all goes wrong.
Yes.
Because they don't know where to go outside.
Yeah, yeah. Great.
So it's
took me a while to get out of that habit. And now if I'm playing a cover, I'll play the first few notes, I'll play the end few notes. Yeah. And if there's a bit in the middle where you go, oh, they're going to know that note. Right, well, I've just got to make sure I hit that one, and that one, and then everything else is me.
Yeah,
so that's a different ball game in it, covers, because everybody knows a good...
Except they don't. But I think they do. No.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you can put a spin on it, that's even cooler, like, I think.
Because you're owning it, aren't you? You're owning that cup.
Yeah.
You're introducing your own flavour. Your own,
and that's what I said. Other people said I was just lazy and could be arse learning it.
No. Well, we used to do a cover, like, and what we did with that, we just created our own. So we and that was a jam in it as well. And we just took the original, which was like a bare bones cover, and just made it fatter I don't think there's any complex.
There is. The second half of that song is complex.
Nobody plays that there.
Nobody plays that bit.
Nobody plays that bit.
It's Oh Well, Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of how we started out, wasn't it?
The second nut part to it is like a Western sort of. So who does that? Although it'd be cool if you did your version of it, like, but it's like, I don't whether the crowd like that, I do not know. When they're asking for a court, like an encore, you're not going to finish off like
a whistling
sort of Western spaghetti style thing at the end, bar.
Well, thank you very much, Phyllis. That's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Speak to you for a bit.
Great to meet you.